Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I watched part of that meeting last Friday, and to put it point blankly, I was disgusted. We got supposedly grown adults up there acting like a bunch of six-year-olds. Well, you did this, and I'm going to do that. I'm not for this. And if they're going to continue fussing, fighting, arguing, I say let's start all over again. As bad as I want to get this move forward, there's no need in sitting there like this. You know, we're grown adults. We can agree to disagree like we up here. I don't always agree with everything I do, but I respect you. I don't threaten you, and I don't fuss and fight and argue, and I hope y'all don't with me. You know, we're adults.
To put it point blankly, Bobby Burkett, Santa Rosa County Commissioner, talking about the Land Development Code Committee and what has now become – I'll be honest, I haven't watched any of these meetings. I've kind of been – I don't know, putting it off. I don't know if I'm going to really do it. It's always a question of do I watch that third layer meeting, you know? And maybe I'm missing it because there has been a lot of drama. They've got allegations from one member that another member has been manufacturing and doctoring videos about that member and putting them up on social media, which appears to be an accurate account of what's been going on. Squabbling and fussing, as Bobby Burkett says, and almost to the point where the commission seems to be wondering whether they did the wrong thing in making the LDC review committee.
I just want to put out there, we need to be adults and work together, and let's get this thing going and stop all this fuss and fighting and arguing. I'm done.
And by the way, this is a really good back-to-back, because if you do not listen to the meetings a lot, and I will say even as someone who does listen to all of the, at least the primary meetings, even I sometimes have trouble telling the difference between Bobby Burkett and Ray Eddington when they're talking, because Ray Eddington is like Bobby plus, I don't know ages exactly, but 15 or 20 years, and so they do sometimes talk a little bit the same, but this is Ray expressing the same subject concern.
I'm with Bobby there. Hey, if it's left up to me, we just do away with the board right now. Us five sit down and decide what we're going to put in there and change it and be done with it and do the right thing. That's what we should do. But that's not my call.
Well, I mean, you know, it's sort of your call. You're one of the commissioners. But, you know, a frustration about the committee not doing its thing. Now, did you hear the similarity, or do they sound completely different to you, John? Be honest. Okay, so this is Ray.
Hey, if it's left up to me, we just do away with the board right now.
All right, and this is Bobby.
I just want to put out there, we need to.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
It's like... You know, I used to work with a guy who, his name all of a sudden escapes me, Phil Hendry, who was like the master of voices, you know, and characters, and he would use two different microphones so that he could pretend to be a caller calling into his own show, and he'd go back and forth between the mics and processing all this stuff that was part of the gag. It's almost like one person speaking in two different mics for effect. Again, for comparison, this is Bobby Burkett.
I just want to put out there, we need to be adults.
All right, and this is Ray Eddington.
Hey, if it's left up to me, we just do away with the board right now.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, my goodness,
no. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not.
That's just one guy with two different processors.
You're not.
All right, so that's... So the meeting began with what was, I think it was... There have been past problems with the audience yelling back, and Kerry Smith, who's the county commission chairman, you know, District 2, that's Milton East, you know, trying to keep order amongst the rabble, who's fussing and fighting. Anyway, so in this case, I think there's a guy who's going to yell out of the crowd, but I think all he's yelling for, you listen, tell me what you think.
Like I said, I'm not mad at you, Commissioner. I'm just going to start from the left. All right, I'm going to ask you to not respond from the stands.
From the stands. I think all he was saying is, can you please turn your mic up? I think that's all he was asking for.
Next time, please, sir, don't respond from the stands like that. All right, let's have a little civility. There's one of the things that we have, and that's called not yelling from out there, okay? I appreciate you. You can walk up to the podium, but just when it's your turn.
I don't know if you can really walk up and be like, hey, can you turn the mic? I don't know, but whatever. It's fine. It's fine. Just, you know, it was an interesting meeting. You had Rhett Rowell. Remember yesterday we were talking about the land development code. Well, I guess it is elemental. It's the rural protection zone. And he was happy that a lot of that had been improved by moving that line to include a new 70,000 acres of preservation-ish status for farmland and rural lifestyle.
Just wanted to say thank you to this board. For the work that we got accomplished a couple weeks ago for extending the rural protection zone. I feel like this is a big first step in preserving some of our most prime farmland. And while I know we may not all agree 100% on what the current RPC does and doesn't do, I appreciate each one and member of the board. I know that our everybody's heart's in the right place. And I just want to say thank you for that. I feel like it's a huge first step. And doing what I all know that we all want to do and preserve our farmland.
And that's true. And by the way, this is one of the nice things about the current composition of Santa Rosa County Commission is, generally speaking, they don't necessarily always agree, but they're always trying to be civil. They're always trying to get along. Now, sometimes they don't, which is fine, of course. But also, you know, sometimes the audience doesn't help the situation. But it's a lot tamer than it used to be. We don't have any more James Calkins on the board. And we have a little bit less Pitchfork Posse going on. Not zero, but a little bit less. Rhett Rowell continues saying, you know, look, we're going to try to protect farmland through some particular elements, which I have been a supporter of these. I like some of these ideas.
I said I truly feel that moving that line farther south was a big first step and look forward to talking and receiving input from this board about implementing a transfer of development rights in the near future. I feel that we can implement a TDR process that encourages the preservation of our farmlands as we grow in a respectful manner. So, again, I just want to say thank you for this board and for what we were able to do. Thank you.
Yeah, and there's actually a whole bunch of different proposals that they're looking at to try to grow wisely or smartly or in a controlled way and to protect farmland, rural lifestyle, all of that. Transfer development rights is one of those. For example, if you have the current right to develop, let's say, a basic zoning Ag RR1, which is one house per acre, that you could sell that one house per acre of density. Let's say you've got 100 acres. You basically sell the right to build 100 houses to somebody that's currently got land and is zoned, you know, 4 per acre, and they've got 25 acres. And you basically sell them to double the density. That's very, very roughly the idea. There's a couple of others as well, but that's one of the ideas. And they're all kind of interesting. In an effort to shift where people build, where they live, how that would influence, you know, infrastructure, how that would also serve to accommodate having greater population without having to, you know, infringe upon the rural lifestyle. And then Kerry Smith, as you actually heard David talking about this at the top of the hour, again, responding to a Navarre Press editorial talking about how the zoning commission is always being overridden by the Escambia. The zoning board is always being overridden by the Escambia County Commission in a particularly bad way. And Kerry pushing back on that, but also recognizing that when he was on the zoning board only, you know, he kind of felt that way at times.
I realize that as a former member of the zoning board, that in the past, I felt as a member of that zoning board that the board of county commissioners was constantly voting against us. And it is so far from the truth because I didn't really realize it until I got in here. And of course, Jared, you gave us some backup. We asked you for it. You got it. Am I correct in 88%? Is it 88%?
It was of cases that are heard by the zoning board and the Board of County Commissioners. They reached the same conclusion on 80% of cases. However, there's a lot of cases that, you know, if it's a variance and it's approved by the zoning board and not appealed to the BOCC, it just stays there. So if you look at the totality of cases that the zoning board's heard, and this is since 2020 for both figures, there's about 11%, just over 11% that's overturned by the Board of County Commissioners.
So that's so far away from being all the time. And, I mean, it's math's math. Math is math.
Math is math. And it's actually a really interesting point about government. For example, in this case, the zoning board is only overruled by the Board of County Commissioners 11% of the time. That means that, you know, basically 1 in 9 or 1 in 10 roughly that they agree with, that they disagree with them in some way or fashion. But that's true of a lot of things. You know, on this show, a lot of times we talk about the controversial matters that show up, but the controversy is usually the minority of the issues. You might have 20 things on the agenda and only one or two of them is controversial. The rest are put generally on what's called the consent agenda, where they all just agree and they just do it. And that's the norm. The most of government is very boring. Most, in fact, you know, almost all of Pensacola government is currently very boring. Not always, but, you know, it's basically pretty boring. And the stuff that's boring, you just don't really talk much about. So even news people like me can contribute to the idea that a commission or the council or whomever is engaged in very controversial matters, because we kind of gravitate towards the controversial ones. First of all, they're more entertaining. Second of all, they're usually more interesting in the sense that there's two sides or three sides. And, you know, when it comes to the consent agenda stuff, it's, I mean, it's simple. It's easy. It's obvious. Okay. That doesn't make it bad. In fact, if it's obvious, it's usually good. It's almost like a Supreme Court opinion. Same way. The perception of the Supreme Court is that they do all of these horrible, controversial things and it's by a slim 5-4 or 6-3 margin. No, the vast majority, in fact, I'm going on memory, but I think it's like 90% of Supreme Court opinions are unanimous. Unanimous. I mean, this is, you know, 3 liberals and 6 conservatives agree with each other. That's the norm. And then you have every once in a while, that's not the case. Anyway, Kerry Smith went on continuing to push back on this notion that, you know, there's this big chasm between the zoning board and the county commission, and also this idea of, again, the editorial that he was pushing back on, you know, claiming that there was this problem of overturning them and, I don't know, disrespect. I haven't read the editorial, but he was upset enough about it to bring it up in the commission meeting.
A lot of people think that I'm hypersensitive of protecting this board. I'm hypersensitive because it's our reputation. That's what we work from. We work from our reputation. And so then when we have different angles coming at us,
By the way, most dramatic pause breath ever.
So then when we have different angles coming at us saying, well, this is what you do, this is what you do, therefore it's the truth. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. It's somebody's truth, but it's not the truth. It's a made-up truth, which makes it not a truth, right? I mean, let's get philosophical here. Maybe we can get Andrew McKay to help us out here with this one, because he was a philosophy major or a philosophy professor.
Yeah, no charge. Consultations available anytime you want, Commissioner Smith, Chairman Smith. Which, by the way, he's right. First of all, he's right about the whole issue of perspective and how that can affect people's perception of the truth. That doesn't affect the actual truth. But also the idea that a minority slice of the facts focusing on the 11% disagreements or the particular case that captures your interest, if you focus again and again and again on those points of disagreement, your perception develops that everything is controversy, everything is being overruled, everything is a problem. It's kind of, you know, we've talked about this many times in this show. If the planes take off and land safely, it doesn't make the news. And they take off and land safely all the time. I mean, almost every single case. And in fact, you know, to take plane safety as an example, the one time where there's an actual incident of harm is so disproportionately rare that we actually report almost incidents as if it's news, right? I mean, not to pick on my fellow news people, but you know that an almost incident is a non-incident. Close call is, I mean, how many times you're driving and you get into not an accident? Is that a crash? It's not a crash. It's somebody avoided a crash. Now, it's a little closer than you might like, and you might tell your wife or your husband when you get home, but it's essentially a non-event. Well, same thing in airline travel, right? You know, there's an actual crash where people actually get harmed. Okay, big deal. But it's so rare and so emotional and so captivating that we actually report on almost incidents as if it's news, and it's not really news if you think about it. So his notion, and that's, we talk about this all the time, if you focus on the particular slice of the data, it doesn't make that data slice false, but it's not representative of the whole. And so Kerry Smith saying, you know, some people have truth, some people don't, or some people have a better grasp of the whole picture. That's what he's trying to get at. I completely agree with him. No fee necessary this time, Commissioner. You don't even have to consult.
Dare I say, we get 100 emails per case. Zoning board members do not get these emails. We do. We're the ones that get tons of information. And then when we do change our mind on things, it's not that we're going against the zoning board. It's we have more information.
And that's true, too. It's not them, you know, reversing necessarily. It's that they've gotten a lot more perspective and information. And sometimes they may be disagreeing in the judgment. Like they may say, you know, you guys looked at it and we just see it a different way. But a lot of times you guys looked at it. We now know a lot more than you had a chance to hear. And we think that the totality of the evidence and the perspective gives us this better answer, which even you would agree with if you had a chance to rehear it, at least perhaps. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pensacola Beach is a wonderful place to vacation and celebrate with your family. If you thought about having a family celebration or a memorable beach wedding, Casa de Luna still has good dates available this year. Casa de Luna is spacious, with room for large families. It has 9 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. And the pool can be heated. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on the ground level. It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the ground level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly, and another as a genuine jacuzzi. There's a large gaming porch with a pool table, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna at 850-433-4855. That's 850-433-4855.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Join Claimology Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's Thursday at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfancap and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Insanity runs in my family. It practically gallops.
Have a confession.
Do I need to put on the black robe and everything?
No, we're not quite that serious or anything. Right. But you know that Insanity Runs in My Family, it practically gallops, okay? That's from Arsenic and Old Lace, right? Mm-hmm. Classic movie. In my head, I had that as being Jimmy Stewart. And then I went because I thought of that clip yesterday. I'm like, oh, that's a good one. I should grab that for the show. And I went and watched it. Cary Grant. And I actually was in Arsenic and Old Lace in high school. I mean, not the same production, but like, you know, our high school version of it.
Right.
You'd think I'd know that. No, sure enough, not.
Not going to say anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, great movie, by the way. 529 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, good morning there, Professor.
Adjunct Professor. Let's not inflate.
We do have some news headlines here. Another radio outage at Newark Liberty International Airport now being investigated. Yesterday's outage was a little bit shorter, lasted about 2 seconds this time. But it is the fourth since April 28th. A 90-second outage that day, of course, caused five air traffic controllers to take trauma leave. Secretary of State Marco Rubio testifying before a Senate committee today. He's appearing before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to discuss his proposed budget request. Rubio will no doubt be grilled on a variety of issues, including the Trump administration's use of the Alien Enemies Act. And Dilbert creator Scott Adams says he's now battling advanced prostate cancer and believes that he may not live past the summer. Adams shared that news during a live stream on Monday, describing his daily struggle as a nightmare.
Yeah, no, I love Scott. Love Dilbert. Love Dilbert all along.
It's
great
gotten
stuff.
A lot of
Dilbert
office was workers through a lot of days.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah. You feel like somebody out there understood the nuttiness you were encountering. And sometimes that's all it takes to endure the nuttiness for another day is somebody gets it. I mean, I don't work for the people who get it, but somebody gets it.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. New Jersey House Democrat LaMonica McIver is charged with assaulting law enforcement officers during a protest outside an immigration detention facility in Newark May 9th.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem saying the charges come after a full review of the video from the scuffle. But McIver says the charges against me are purely political. They mischaracterize and distort my actions and are meant to criminalize and deter legislative oversight.
Fox's Madeline Rivera trespassing charge against Newark Mayor Ross Baraka was dropped. Israel's prime minister rejects demands from Canada, France, and the United Kingdom to end a new offensive in Gaza.
They say the level of human suffering is intolerable, with aid agencies warning of famine among Gaza's 2 million plus population. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday allowed 9 trucks carrying aid to enter.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. Escambia County deputies arrested a man for an alleged string of armed robberies throughout 2024 and 2025. Sheriff Chip Simmons held a press conference yesterday. He said 21-year-old Deshaun Donson had been arrested Sunday following the latest robbery at a local Raceway store. Investigators were reportedly tracking Donson after he'd been identified as a suspect in several previous incidents. Simmons says after that robbery, Donson led deputies on a chase that ended when a deputy crashed head-on into Donson's vehicle. A bag of cash and a firearm were recovered from that vehicle. Sheriff Simmons said Donson is charged with armed robbery and fleeing. More charges are expected. A Supreme Court ruling could have repercussions for thousands of people in South Florida. A court yesterday ruling that the federal government can end temporary protected status for Venezuelans. It's believed there's about 175,000 Venezuelans living in South Florida under TPS. Adelis Faro is with the Venezuelan American Caucus in Miami. He says their fight is not over. The state is going to have to take some more steps to protect manatees in Brevard and Volusia counties. A federal judge ruling yesterday that the Florida Department of Environmental Protection has to do more to ensure the safety of manatees in the Indian River Lagoon. They're going to have to stop new septic tanks from being built nearby, establish programs to check on the manatees' health, and start providing more food for the animals. The judge also ruled that the DEP will have to provide quarterly updates. Now, President Trump is pushing today for more Republican support for his budget bill. He already has Rick Scott's vote. Senator Scott was on Fox News yesterday to discuss the One Big Beautiful Bill. Scott says he wants to help Trump get his agenda done. He says that means peace through strength, a balanced budget, and bringing transparency and accountability back to government. Now, the number of travelers for this Memorial Day weekend is expected to be record-breaking.
AAA is forecasting 45 million Americans will hit the road between May 22nd and 26th for the holiday weekend. That would break the previous record set in 2005. More than 39 million people are expected to do their traveling by car. Meanwhile, over 3.5 million travelers are expected to get to their destination by plane. That's almost a 2% increase from last year. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. 534 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got 75 degrees in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 75 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Alphabet's Waymo unit has received approval to expand its autonomous ride-hailing service to more parts of the San Francisco Bay Area, including San Jose. As Waymo continues to expand, the California Department of Motor Vehicles is considering new rules for testing and deployment of self-driving vehicles. Apple must work out its latest issues with Epic Games or head back to court to prove it has a legal basis for delaying the restoration of Fortnite to its iOS App Store. Epic Games and Fortnite recently resubmitted its game but was blocked by Apple. Spotify and Amazon Kindle have resubmitted their apps to allow for customer purchases outside of the App Store and had them approved. Reuters reports Nippon Steel plans to invest $14 billion in U.S. Steel's operations, including up to $4 billion in a new steel mill if the Trump administration greenlights its bid for the iconic U.S. company. Shares of U.S. Steel rose more than 3% after the report. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, this is Jeff Lane, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Come out, bring a blanket or a lawn chair, and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Pensacola's very own On the Rocks. They're taking all your musical favorites, shaking it up, giving it a twist, and adding their own unique and special flavors and serving it back to you on the rocks. It's happening this Tuesday night at 7 with Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Ralph and I agree, as does every Republican in Congress, House and Senate. Work requirements is a no-brainer. It's like a 90% issue on polling. Able-bodied adults who can work should work. It's
so
good
why
for
delay it?
Their own purpose and dignity. Well, as I said, some of the states have, it takes them some time, we've learned in this process, to change their systems and to make sure that these stringent requirements that we will put on that to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse can actually be implemented. So we're working with them to make sure what the earliest possible date is to put into law something that will actually be useful.
Okay, so this is Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, who was talking with, I think it was Shannon Bream on Fox News Sunday yesterday, about the budget discussions that are going on in Congress right now. It's a huge conversation piece. Of course, President Trump is pushing for his big, beautiful bill, as he calls it. No stranger to favorable namings of things. Joining us now, we have Congressman Jimmy Petronas. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So this, the conservatives on the committee, like Chip Roy, had opposed this because it delays implementation of the work requirements for Medicaid. The speaker says the states can only do work so fast. This is what we got. They voted that out of committee yesterday because I guess the conservatives sort of stood down and voted present. But where are we going with this? This has been the conversation in Congress for a while now. Can you kind of lay out where we are and where we're going with this?
Sure. Look, the average citizen doesn't know the difference between Medicaid or Medicare.
Fair.
Okay. And so Medicaid was a provision to provide a safety net for our most vulnerable, our seniors, our children, our elderly, those that are disabled, females. So what you had is you had the big fight during Obamacare, and you had expanded Medicaid to all. So the criticism is there is able-bodied men in their 20s sitting on a couch somewhere playing Xbox that are getting free health care, okay? And so a conservative like myself said, you know what, by gosh, if you're going to get free health care, there should be a work requirement that you're at least attempting going out, securing work if you're going to have eligibility that benefits.
So, just like we do for unemployment. You don't get unemployment unless you try.
Exactly. So not trying to reinvent the wheel, but if you're going to take advantage of taxpayer dollars, you got folks out there that are they're killing themselves working two jobs in order to maintain a household and purchase their health insurance. This is individuals that aren't working that are getting it. So we're saying we're going to make a work requirement. So I mean, it's estimated, I think, over 5 years, it's over $100 billion in savings. So the initial version of the language came out and said, okay, we will implement this starting in 2029. Well, myself and a bunch of others, we lost our minds. And we said, no, we got to start this sooner. And so this is probably one of the biggest nuggets out of it. It's probably not going to create the type of savings that is going to be transformational, but it's the right way to change the culture as we approach how we respect our taxpayer dollars being used.
And so part of the,
right now, the
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Has gone from 2029 to 2026.
Oh,
and so that's,
okay.
So that's a pretty significant move. But I would not be surprised if that still is not on the table. Where the speaker was coming from is, look, different states are going to have a lot of fun trying to implement this new work requirement. And my attitude is, you know what? I understand, Mr. Speaker, but that's not a problem. That's the states. They're the ones benefiting from taxpayer dollars from the state of Florida.
And that's the challenge is you have, you know, some states, blue states more likely, have done things that have put themselves in a position of being able to say, oh, this is too hard for us to implement. and they're getting all this extra money, whereas the red states who have been more responsible are the ones who are like, yeah, we can do this. You know, when do you want it? Yesterday? So why would we cater to the states that have been, you know, making the system worse, bloating the system, when they're the ones who say we can't act on this, right?
Yeah, and look, it is what it is. These dollars, whether you claim they do or they don't, they become fungible. Once the federal government sends these dollars out, you know, we're not auditing every single dollar that leaves the federal government that goes to the state of Florida. You would think in the case of the state of Florida, they would be a good steward of the dollars. And in most cases, really, they are. But what you've got is other states that are upside down financially, like a California, like a New Jersey, like a New York, that, I mean, they'll take every federal dollar that they can, and then, you know, you really don't know what happens when it goes into their black holes. But this particular issue where it really hits home to Florida is a donor state. So we are literally paying taxes to provide health care insurance to able-bodied men who are sitting on the couch. And all we're saying is, you know what, if we're going to be a donor state, then by gosh, our dollar is going to be more responsible.
You know, one of the other issues that has been a hiccup or a wrench in the works, you and I talked about this last week, was the state and local tax exemption, especially for New York Republicans. Jimmy, has the SALT exemption, has that been solved? Because, I find this so offensive that somebody who makes, $1 million a year, $500,000 a year in New York pays less federal taxes than somebody who lives in Pensacola, just because they have allowed their state and local taxes to balloon out of control, and they can take that as a deduction against their income. It offends me. And yet, that's a live or die thing for the Republicans in New York, right?
It is. I mean, we've got, you know, five Republicans up there. They walk around with little salt pins on their lapel, and this is their issue. But, you know, it's like I was talking to Senator Scott about this exact same issue yesterday. And he says, I got a solution for those New Yorkers. Just move to Florida. You know what I mean? So we don't have a state income tax here, so there's no deductible to worry about. And I think that's really one of the reasons why we've had a migration to this state. People just really want to keep their money. So where the deduction currently right now is at $10,000, you can deduct $10,000 of your state income tax off of your federal income tax. Right now they're fighting for $40,000 per individual. Just a few months ago, they were happy with $20,000. So they're getting way out there on this because they know that they have got more votes in hand that can stop the bill.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some type of an impasse there at the end of the day. And this is what the senator and I were talking about. As infuriated as I get about SALT, the Medicaid impact part is a much bigger financial piece to both the state of Florida and our kids. So, I mean, I've been kind of more laser focused on making sure that Medicaid is managed in a way where it's not seeing double-digit increases every single year. It's just out of control.
No, I agree with that. It's just, for me, it's more of a, but you're Republicans. You know, you're acting like parochial local politicians because nobody has bothered to tell your people that they're doing it wrong. And you're doing the principled wrong thing for selfish political reasons, which I understand, but I don't agree with. And that's, you know, that's the thing that's so frustrating about it.
I'm with you 100%.
You know, one of the other elements of this bill, as I understand it, is it's going to reorient how energy works, and it's going to take away the benefits and the subsidies that go to green energy, which I understand that's, you know, President Trump's like one of his big pushes. The concern, I know Forbes had a big article about this, but the concern is that this is going to hamper the ability of, you know, wind or solar or, you know, other non-petroleum-based or non-carbon-based energy to really grow and develop in the country, which is going to be a problem for us in sourcing energy, if that's the case. Have you looked at that issue much and thought about kind of, you know, the green energy future and what that's going to do to the economy? I know this is a part of the bill. It's just kind of an interesting one.
Yeah, so the significant tax credits were made available to those utilities that wanted to embrace renewable energy,
right?
Wind, solar, you name it. So right now, you know, it's been as far as get rid of them all together. The challenge you get with get rid of them all together is you've got existing projects that are underway that all of a sudden now you've basically blown up their investment. So this is where they've kind of moved to the middle. I think now they've said that they will go away in 6 years. I wouldn't be surprised if that number doesn't shrink and it gets to a smaller amount than 6 years. When you give somebody 6 years, you're basically saying, all right, you got the incentive to start the project today and take advantage of those credits. But tax credits, you got to realize that's still taxpayers' money.
Right.
You know, we are basically not collecting. So it's a revenue concern. And it's also a policy concern, especially as you've seen President Trump try to unleash, you know, as many forms of energy humanly possible. And this is why you've seen, you know, the price of oil do what it's done over his administration.
Are you seeing or hearing anything about nuclear in this conversation? Because I continue to be baffled about why it's so hard to build nuclear plants. I mean, we've been running our carriers on nuclear for 50 years. I don't get why we are so reluctant to embrace safe nuclear.
Yeah, so I did a term on the Public Service Commission. If you wanted to start nuclear today, you're talking about nearly a 20-year process.
Good Lord.
Okay, and you think about it, you're starting it today, 20-year process, and you're starting on the technology that exists this moment. Okay, so nuclear is more of a two-episode show, but what you do have is there's a real interest to try to embrace small scale nuclear.
Yeah.
Okay. And here I'll just leave it. This is it's probably where it hits home. Right now, a nuclear plant, say you go up to Farley up in Dothan, it's got to have a 120, 125 member police force that's got to be the equivalent of military police, okay, wrapped around that installation. And you think about the human cost of what it is to do that.
Yeah.
So now the pivot has been, well, why don't we put small-scale nuclear on our military bases? So now you're already taking advantage of a police force that's there, whether you want it there or not. It's going to stay on that base. And then you bring a small-scale nuclear on site. It's quicker and easier and cheaper to deploy. So that's kind of one of the pathways they see to bring nuclear online without having such a cost of human labor every single day, 24/7, protecting, securing, and monitoring it. At the same time, that nuclear would service the base, and then excess energy provided would go back on the grid.
Oh, that's, I know, I'd never heard. That's a really interesting idea, especially because, at least in the case of the Navy,
yeah,
you know, we already know how to do this. We can just, you know, do it on land instead
right.
of doing
that's
it on
right.
an aircraft carrier. Hey, last thing, we're talking to Congressman Jim Patronis. Cool little note. I think Mike Kohler let the bag out, a cat out of bag, just a little bit early on this, but he had mentioned in a county commission meeting that Joe Patties is going to get a nationwide recognition designation by you on the floor, and I think it's this week you're doing it. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not sure my calendar off the top of my head.
Okay.
But yeah, Mike Kohler can't keep a secret to save his life. So I love Mike.
Right.
But actually, you know, Mike was the one who brought this idea up to us. As we were the small business chairmanship is Chairman Williams out of Texas. Great guy. He's a former baseball coach, car dealer, but he loves small businesses. I love being on that committee. And so he challenged each one of us, go find a business in your district you want to honor. And so, yeah, we're gonna honor the Patty family and their contribution to Northwest Florida, what they've been doing with Joe Patty Seafood. And I just get chills telling you about it because it's such an iconic destination. If you try to create it tomorrow, you couldn't. Only reason why it exists because of blood, sweat, and tears and family commitment and a community commitment. And that's the type of businesses that we should be showcasing, where they're not asking anything from the government except less of it. And I'm so proud to be able to honor them.
Yeah,
this
no,
week, I this week. Which I think it's this
that's
week.
That's awesome.
This week we're not there. We're moving next week.
I love it. And you know, and I know everybody knows about Joe Patty and the seafood. But you know, the Patty Shipbuilding, it was such a huge part of you know, local business and everything. And just, you know, like you said, it's a great company, and we're really, yeah, I'm excited. It's really a neat thing for you to be able to honor them. Congressman Jimmy Patronis, as always, thank you so much for the time, sir. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yeah, I had a guy that reached out to me on social media. And look, I'm telling you, folks, I respond to my own DMs and everything on X. When you reach out to me, the response has come from me. It's not coming from some staffer. It's not coming from my kids or my wife. So just let you know, whenever you need me, you can just find me on X. It's the easiest way to find it, at Jimmy Patronis. Or you can follow me at Patronis FL. God bless. Thanks for having me.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Congressman. Did he just invite everybody to slide in his DMs?
He did.
Is that what he said? Oh, I think that's great. No, and he used to always give out his phone number. Still does. He just didn't happen to do it yesterday, but he will do all the time. 4-3. You can always reach me. 437-1620. 437-1620. Hey, if you are thinking about buying that next vehicle or just shopping or just kind of, I mean, I kind of joke about this, but it's not really a joke, is it can be fun to drive new cars. That could almost be just a date. I mean, you know, sometimes you're looking for a creative, cheap date. I'm not telling you, like, just take advantage of Frontier Motors, but it could be a fun thing to do. You know, go with your spouse and or your pre-spouse or, you know, whatever, and be like, let's go drive some cars. And you learn something in the process. You're going to get exposed to, you know, cars. You might try. I mean, literally, you drive sedans, drive a Jeep. You drive sedans, you drive a truck. You drive a truck, drive a minivan. Just for fun, just to say you did, you know, like that could be fun. Now, obviously, better if you're kind of in the mood for actually getting, you know, market information and learning about what car you want to buy. But Frontier Motors is there for you. They have about 300 cars, trucks, vans on the lot at any one time, and you can drive as many as you like, test as many as you like. No big deal. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House.
David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily. Visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Step into the smoke and sophistication of Pensacola Cigar Weekend, May 29th to June 1st at the beautiful Court of DeLuna. An unforgettable four-day affair of fine cigars, live jazz, craft spirits, and upscale vibes. Relax, unwind, and connect with elegance in every puff. Visit PensacolaCigarWeekend.com to secure your moment in the smoke. Pensacola Cigar Weekend, where refinement meets rhythm. Light it, live it, love it.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, we don't play that.
Please, please tell me now. Please, please tell me now. Please, please tell me now. Please, please tell me now.
Good morning, 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We're into that season where the session has sort of ended. They're going to have to come back and do the budget, right? They still haven't figured out the budget. But the session, regular bills, has all kind of passed, probably. I say that because, I mean, if they still have session, they could still do bills, theoretically. Anyway, I mean, they still have to do a big bill. Maybe not a big, beautiful bill, Trump speak, but a bill. The governor is now signing these bills into law as they come to his desk, right? And, you know, one of the bills that he signed is the Boater Freedom Act. That's SB 1388. Allows Florida boaters to be free from undue government interference in their enjoyment of Florida's waters by preventing local bans on gas vessels. So, you know, they might try to make it electric only. And they're like, no, no, you can take your gas motor anywhere. Preventing random vessel safety inspections without probable cause. So no more stop and frisk on the water. Directing Florida Fish and Wildlife to create a five-year safety inspection decal program linked to vessel registration so you can know that you were inspected and you can know that you're good. Governor DeSantis says Florida's the boating and fishing capital of the world and the Boater Freedom Act will ensure that this remains the case, particularly to protect against you know, local activists, he says, in trying to influence against gas vehicles, statewide protection of wake speeds, manatee zones, and seagrass areas as well. Then there is also HB 735, which provides additional funding for boat ramps, parking, and marina programs through the Florida Fish and Wildlife. So that's very cool. We'll actually talk a little bit about that with Santa Rosa County Commissioner Brad Baker coming up at 6:35. We got a lot of stuff to talk about with Brad, but that's when I want to ask if any of that money is going to come to us here. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. President Trump says he is confident that peace talks will soon start between Russia and Ukraine. He posted on Truth Social, Trump said his call with Vladimir Putin went very well. They apparently spoke for about 2 hours yesterday. Trump suggested that those talks could actually take place at the Vatican. Another radio outage at Newark Liberty International's airport under investigation. Yesterday's was only 2 seconds long, but it's the fourth outage they've had since April 28th. And Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson apparently under a federal investigation over hiring practices. The U.S. Department of Justice says they have reasonable cause to believe the mayor made his hiring decisions based on race, potentially violating the Civil Rights Act.
Interesting. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, interesting bit of news out of Trump world. Did you see the note? I think it was on Friday, maybe Saturday, where Pam Bondi basically announced on behalf of the Department of Justice and the ATF that they are no longer going to consider a forced reset trigger a machine gun or a banned apparatus. She says that the Department of Justice believes that the Second Amendment is not a second-class right, and we are glad to end a needless cycle of litigation with a settlement that will enhance public safety. Now, I'm not going to get into the details here, but you know what a bump stock is? It allows you to simulate automatic fire, okay? And there's all different kinds of technologies that don't specifically constitute a machine gun, but they're treated as such. A forced reset trigger essentially in practice makes it a machine gun. This is a 9mm rifle being fired semi-automatic. That's one shot per trigger pull. This is a forced reset trigger. That's a machine gun. I mean, that's almost indistinguishable from fully automatic fire. Now, I'm not saying it ought to be illegal. I'm just saying that's what's being allowed under this new directive. The ATF's going to allow those to all go back to their owners.
Local talk in the morning.